Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, you are legendary for being here. Thank you so incredibly much. We've got a great show for you today. It is exactly the episode that you've been wanting. It's the one I've been wanting to do. We are officially going to go over the ideal offseason for the Green Bay Packers. I'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get there, shout out to Austin Berry for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Also, want to remind you that if you have not yet checked out the Pack-A-Day radio show, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, 8 AM to 9 AM every single morning, Monday through Friday, you get me, yours truly, the Pack-A-Day radio show. You can also find it on the free Odyssey app as well as on thefanmilwaukee.com. So make sure to check out the Pack-A-Day radio show. Also, I do a live Bleacher Report, Q&A basically from 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. So all you have to do is download the free Bleacher Report app. And from 3 to 3:30, I am doing a live Q&A out there Monday through Thursday. Every once in a while, I have to change up the time and maybe it goes a little bit earlier. But for the most part, 3 to 3:30, Monday through Thursday. So if you haven't been checking out that, make sure to check out that as well. As I've also mentioned, the day before the draft, Wednesday night, I'm going to be hosting a live Q&A at Hagemeister Park. That is going to be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Might hang around a little bit after if we've still got some people hanging out wanting to talk ball. If so, maybe we'll, you know, grab a couple drinks, whatever we need to do. But there is going to be a live Q&A free to get in 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Hagemeister Park, downtown Green Bay, the night before the draft. Of course, lots of news and notes from Tuesday. Brandon McManus re-signs with Green Bay. That is the biggest piece of news and notes from Tuesday. And it is, you know, certainly comes with a sigh of relief, right? A little bit over $5 million per season on a three-year deal, a little over $5 million guaranteed. This is exactly what you were hoping for if you were Green Bay. No kicker competition, no draft picks needed at kicker, no, you know, keeping track of who was 16 of 20 in practice and who was four, like, you know, unfortunately for Alex Hale, the international pathway program player, looks like he no longer has a pathway to a roster spot in Green Bay outside of, again, maybe being that international pathway practice squad player. But this is exactly what Green Bay needed to solidify this position. They're actually going to have the same long snapper, punter, and kicker, in this case, long snapper, holder, and kicker going into the season with Orzic still under contract, Whalen being an exclusive rights free agent, and of course, which means he'll be back, by the way, and then Brandon McManus now back as kicker. This is what we wanted. We got it done. It's great to see. And, you know, McManus just coming back and hopefully picking up right where he left off. I mean, really being able to pick up from, picking up midseason and working with a new long snapper, a new holder, had no issues kicking in Lambeau, made clutch kicks, you know, potential game winners. And yes, he had the miss in the playoffs, which was clearly unfortunate. But outside of that, he was near perfect for Green Bay this past year. So locking him up for three more years and, you know, in kicker years, he's still basically in the prime of his career. There should not be any real issue. And the thing that you love about him is he really nails his kicks 45 and under far more often than not, and his extra points as well. So I love this re-signing for Green Bay. It was clearly their biggest free agent going into the offseason, and now he remains a Packer for the foreseeable future. The other big piece of news is Davante Adams was released by the New York Jets. It's worth noting he is able to be signed now. He does not have to wait till next week to the tampering period or anything like that. He can be signed right away since he is released. I don't know what Green Bay's real odds. I think it's probably in like the 10% range that he becomes a Green Bay Packer. I have heard, I know Peter Bukowski reported it as well, that Green Bay is interested in a potential reunion with Davante Adams. We'll see if that actually can come to fruition or not. I wouldn't hold your breath on it. There's also the reports that he is drawn to the West Coast. There's also the reports he could still play with Aaron Rodgers this upcoming season. Who knows where he ends up, but I don't think it's an impossibility that he ends up back in Green Bay. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't bet money on it, But I do think there is at least some small chance that he becomes a Green Bay Packer again this offseason. Like I said, I just wouldn't hold your breath, but he is available immediately. And if Green Bay wanted to make an aggressive offer to him and get him back in green and gold, wearing Brandon McManus's number 17, they would have the opportunity to start negotiating that right now. So we'll see if they do that. We'll see if they can get him in, and we'll kind of go from there. But very interesting. He would be a really fun wide receiver for Green Bay. He's still fantastic. He can still beat man-to-man coverage and beat any corner that's across of him with the best of them. And he would certainly be a welcome addition to this offense. But again, we'll have to see what happens and if Devontae actually has an appetite for coming back to Green Bay or not. With that, let's get to building my ideal offseason for the Green Bay Packers. This was a painstakingly difficult just sort of exercise to go through. It doesn't have to be, right? I could have just thrown some names out there, whatever. I want to have reasons behind everything. And I'll start by saying this. You're not going to love it because you have your own guys that you like. That's okay. This is, let's just put the little disclaimer for entertainment purposes only. The odds that Green Bay does exactly what I outlined here today are next to nil. Much better chances that you or I probably win the lottery today than that this exact situation happens, right? So you don't have to love it. That's okay. You have your own set of players that you would like Green Bay to go and get. This is what I would do if I were GM, and you and everyone else can probably be very thankful. I am not the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, but this is how I would attack it. And I really want to go through my thinking with each of these moves so that you can understand the philosophy behind it. And while maybe even if the players don't match, why I hope Green Bay matches some of this philosophy going into this offseason, because I do think that there are things that can be done that would really, really improve this roster in a significant way. Let me start by giving you the criteria for what I think is possible this offseason. I'm not going to go full spreadsheet Andy on you and go over all the minutiae of the salary cap. What you need to know is they have the money to spend if they want to go and spend the money. And we're not even talking about pulling the levers and pulleys to open up money from future salary caps to make these things happen. They can simply make them happen with the money that they have available. It's simple as that. And how I would put this is I think they can kind of get two McKinney / Jacobs signings, kind of what they did last year, or one massive, massive trade / signing, something like that, where it completely, you know, breaks the bank. If you're talking about a Myles Garrett, where you're trading away a bunch of stuff and then, you know, giving a huge contract to him, he's going to cost an exorbitant amount of money, probably $30-35 million per year. If that ends up happening, that's going to be your one free agent signing, right? So, or in this case, trade. That's the parameters I'm working with. So two sort of McKinney Jacobs type signings, one more, you know, I'll say like value type signing, three top 100 picks, 5 day 3 selections is what we're going to go with here. And I'm not going to get into specifics with which player, but you'll see how we kind of do this here in just a moment. I think next it's worth identifying what Green Bay needs. You know, the needs for the most part, but I'm going to label this as simple as I possibly can for needs. The number one need is stars and playmakers. This is a good football team with good players, good depth, good competition. It needs studs, all right? That's what you're ultimately looking for. And the desires are, of course, offensive line depth, a playmaking wide receiver, a starting caliber corner, defensive tackle, pass rush, pressures. We can go through all that. That's in some capacity what your desires are to try to attack this offseason with. Step one for Green Bay is, of course, what free agents of your own do you want to bring back? Well, Goody made this mostly easy, already bringing back the number one free agent in Brandon McManus, like we talked about earlier. And then Isaiah McDuffie re-signed already as well. So those two are already in tow. Exclusive rights free agents, all of them will be back. I'm just going to put it quite simply. We don't need to go through all of them. They're all very easy decisions. All of them will be back on vet minimum or on minimum deals, and should not be an issue to get back in Green Bay in any capacity. So that's what we're looking at there for exclusive rights free agents. Next one is, I'm still going to bring back Eric Wilson, if I can get him on a one-year vet minimum deal. And you get that little bit of a bonus because he's a veteran. So you get to pay him a little bit more, but he costs still a vet minimum. If you can do that, it's a no-brainer to me. It doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to keep him at the end of training camp, but to get him back, bring him into camp, let him, you know, compete for a spot at a near vet minimum deal, can play every linebacker spot. He's literally still like the ideal number 5 linebacker, can play all 3 linebacker spots, can communicate, be the green dot if you need him to. He's not a complete liability at linebacker at any of the positions. In fact, in some games, he might actually be a player that makes those plays for you like he was in a couple games this past year. And he's a core special teams guy. And he's a captain slash locker room guy as well. So that to me is, if you're getting that for a vet minimum, like, what are we doing here? Even if there's a little signing bonus that goes along with that, where even if you cut him at the end of camp, you have to pay that out, no harm, no foul. So I'm still going to bring back Eric Wilson, even though they've got the four linebackers already. You're probably going to draft someone. I'm still bringing Eric Wilson back on a near vet minimum deal. And then the last one is I'm re-signing Robert Rochelle. He's still young enough. He's a special teams guy. Your corner room can use some competition. He's been in the system. Again, vet minimum type of deal. No brainer to me. Bring him back. Let him be competition. That's all there is to it. We don't need to break it down any more than that. Number two, after Green Bay brings back their own free agent signings, is some trades. I have two trades. Number one, trading away Jaire Alexander. In this case, we're trading Jaire Alexander away for a conditional 6th round pick. We don't need to worry about the compensation here. It's going to be a conditional 2026 draft pick. Put whatever number you want in there. If you think he's worth a third, then it's a conditional third. If you think he's worth a seventh, it's a conditional seventh. The world is your oyster. Put in whatever draft pick compensation you want there. It's not going to affect our exercise today because it's going to be a 2026 draft pick that's going to be conditioned upon how much he plays, whether he can become an all-pro, whatever. There's going to be conditions that are on that pick. So 2026 pick, the world is yours. Choose your own adventure. You can put in there 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, whatever you want it to be. That's what it can be for you. I'm going to say it's a conditional 6th round pick that can move to a 5th round pick if he hits certain parameters, and maybe move down to a 7th round pick if he doesn't play in, you know, more than 5 games or something like that. That's what I'm going to say that they get in return for Jaire Alexander. I am trading him away. I do think it's time to move on. So Jaire goes to Jacksonville. There has been a little bit of rumors and buzz that Jacksonville is interested in Jaire Alexander as well. So we'll move him to Jacksonville, conditional pick in 2026. Here's an interesting one. This will be maybe the most unrealistic thing that I talk about today, but I actually think it makes a lot of sense. You need to get creative at wide receiver. I've talked all offseason about how I don't think there's this perfect 1A fit. Metcalf is intriguing, but Metcalf's going to cost a big contract, probably at least a 2nd round pick, maybe a little bit more than that. And I think that's just going to be a little bit more than what Green Bay wants to bite off from a, you know, acquisition standpoint of big contract plus maybe a player plus a early draft pick. It's just, does that sound like Goody? I mean, being sincere, does that sound like Goody at all? It really doesn't, right? So I don't think that's going to be the direction that they go in. I would love to say Davante Adams. I want to tell you Davante Adams. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to end up either on the West Coast or back with Aaron. I don't think he ends up back in Green Bay. I do think he actually harbors a little bit of frustration with the way that his contract was handled. I don't think he necessarily wants to go back after demanding a trade out or requesting a trade out. I just don't see it. I would love to tell you Davante. I just don't see it. And then there's nobody else in free agency that really makes a ton of sense for where Green Bay's wide receiver core is at right now. Hey friends, all football season, we talk about all the amazing options that Prize Picks has available and the multiple different stat categories and promotions that are there for you to take advantage of. But it's worth noting that Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football, and it is a great time of year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So who are you taking for Prize Picks this week? For me, I'm going with Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball to put on a show on Wednesday night, Evan Mobley to dominate on Friday, and David Pastrnak to have a massive game for Boston on Thursday. No matter what season it is, just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. So here's my trade. Green Bay trades Romeo Doubs, a 5th round pick and a 7th round pick to Atlanta for Darnell Mooney. Let me give my explanation here. I think Green Bay in some way wants to move off of Romeo Doubs. I think they recognize that they're not going to be able to give him a big contract in 2026. I think they recognize that there was some angst and frustration with Romeo this past year. I think there's obviously some injury concerns, and his contract goes up to $3 million now this year, which is not a deal breaker by any means, but it goes up based on his playing time increases. And I think in an ideal world, they would like to go in a different direction and get maybe a wide receiver or two that maybe make a little bit more sense. And again, just kind of rip that Band-Aid now. Just my speculation here. The fifth and seventh round picks is just to kind of give Atlanta a little bit more incentive to do this. Darnell Mooney may not be DK Metcalf as a household name, all right? Or like, you know, when you get that idea of a you know, big-time wide receiver. Darnell Mooney was really good in Atlanta this past year, all right? He had the second most 20-plus yard receptions. He was tied, but tied for the second most 20-plus yard receptions in the NFL last year. Tied for second. He was tied for seventh in yards per reception this past year, all right? You're going to have to live with his run blocking. He's a 5'11", 180 guy. It's a little bit under what Green Bay usually likes for their outside wide receivers. I believe that you need to get creative in finding that deep threat. We've talked about it, that it's not specifically out there. You could bring back an MVS. Does that really do anything for you? Probably not. Darius Slayton's going to cost too much. The beautiful thing about Darnell Mooney is he's on a very reasonable contract for the next 2 years at age 28 and 29. It's like a $9 million this year, a $10 million next year, all right? So you're paying about $6 million more this year than what you're paying Romeo Doubs, and you get off of that Doubs contract, obviously, so it's literally only $6 million more. It's a $10 million contract next year. Khalil Shakir's going for $15, $16 million already this year. Darnell Mooney's on a $10 million contract next year, and really the like two still prime years of his career at 28 and 29 for one of the better deep threat wide receivers in all of the NFL. And as far as the run blocking, guess what? Yeah, he's not the best run blocker in the world. Do I have full faith that Matt LaFleur can work around that? Absolutely. Also, just run him deep. Run him as a decoy. Like, run him as a decoy and get him, you know, I get if they're in zone or whatever, it doesn't work as much. But you get my point. Like, you have him sprint down the field and you know, just have the corner run with him more often than not. And then that kind of takes the run blocking in and of itself. And by the way, at least per PFF, he did great at run blocking his rookie year. So he does have some of that at least out there, just hasn't been the same as of late. But I don't care. Like, you're not having Darnell Mooney out there on plays to be this dynamic run blocker. You're getting him out there so he can make explosive plays out on the field. And I think he'd be a great fit in Matt LaFleur's offense, obviously coming from Atlanta a season ago. And I think he would give you that deep threat that you need. And it just is an opportunity to acquire that where there just isn't opportunity elsewhere to get it. It allows you to go into the draft not needing that. You're not overpaying for a player. I don't think it's going to break the bank. And you might be saying, well, why would Atlanta do it then? Well, Atlanta's not in a great salary cap situation. They get off of Mooney's contract this year, which is a guaranteed contract this year. Yes, they hit some of the signing bonuses, but they save money this year. They save $6 million this year. And then they save the contract next year as well. There is some savings, and they get Romeo Doubs, a young wide receiver, in his stead. It's not like they are ready to compete right now in Atlanta anyway. There's going to be a little bit of a rebuild here. And the other thing too is they're getting some draft pick compensation return. So they save some money. They go to Romeo Doubs. They get a young wide receiver. They get a couple draft picks. Mooney's only under contract for two seasons anyway. And listen, if that fifth needs to be a fourth, okay, give them the fourth. It's not a deal breaker for me. The other thing too is I don't think they're going to want this based on where their salary cap situation is, but if they would like Jaire Alexander in that trade too, if it's Jaire and Doubs in a fifth or whatever, cool, let's do that. Like, we can figure out something there too. But I think Green Bay needs to be ultra creative at wide receiver. I think Mooney is this perfect blend of you get the deep speed wide receiver guy. He's not going to break the bank. You're not going to have to give up a top 100 selection for him. And I do think Atlanta would be at least open to something like that if you were to call them and say, hey, we're very interested. Like, Darnell Mooney's not going to be a off limit sort of guy, right? And if you make the right offer, I think they'd listen to it. I think Doubs plus picks, you know, maybe it's a fourth, maybe it's a fifth and a seventh, whatever it might be. I think you can get something done there. And some people might say, like, Romeo Doubs is better than Darnell Mooney. I disagree with that. But even if you agree with that, it's not necessarily who's the better overall wide receiver. It's what does Darnell Mooney give you that this offense doesn't have? And it's that deep threat ability that really needs to exist in this offense to kind of make everything else click. So that's where I'm going at wide receiver. And again, just to recap the trades, we're trading Jaire Alexander for a conditional pick in 2026 to Jacksonville and trading Romeo Doubs plus a fifth and a seventh to Atlanta for Darnell Mooney. All right, that gets us to our free agency period. And now that we've got a wide receiver that didn't break the bank and Jaire Alexander's gone, we got a little bit extra money from that as well. My focus in free agency is a premium player. All right. I don't need Green Bay to spend a huge amount of money on a good player. They can find good players. You need to find a player that is premium or premium at something. And to me, and I went back and forth on this, I debated with a Davante Adams. I debated with a Khalil Mack. I debated with Josh Sweat. I debated with a variety of different players. And I think you could easily put some of those players there. If you want to put Josh Sweat in this spot instead, go for it. If you want to put Khalil Mack in this spot instead, go for it. I think more often than not, you want a premium position player because you're going to pay a premium price. You want it to be something that they have a premium skill set and ideally still in the prime of their career. And usually the best way to look at this is looking at a team that should be keeping this player, but isn't because they've got salary cap concerns. That team is the Philadelphia Eagles. That player is Milton Williams. And the reason I believe this is I believe he is an elite pass rusher, elite pass rusher at defensive tackle. And I believe you are getting that in this player. And I quite frankly don't care about almost anything else. He is a pressure maniac. He is coming into his prime. He is 25 years old. And I do believe you can still weaponize him potentially. Well, I'm going to take this back. Weaponize him as a pass rusher. No question about it. But I think you can find ways to utilize him in run defense as a potential defensive end in this defense. Probably not at defensive tackle. He doesn't hold up well against the run as a pure defensive tackle. That's okay. Put him at defensive end. Have him set the edge. Let him do just that. And I think he can be just fine going against tackles. When he's against bigger guards, it becomes a bigger an issue. And when he's got to go against double teams, it becomes a bigger issue. But I think he can hold up on the edges. Even if he can't, I'm fine with it. You've got Rashawn Gary, LVN, you know, Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox, potentially some other additions there too that you can use as edge setters on the edge, right? You've got Kenny Clark. You're going to get some other defensive tackles in this draft, which we'll go over more in just a moment anyway. You've got Devontae Wyatt. You've got defensive tackles that can play on early downs. I'm not concerned about that either. What I'm concerned about is when it is third and 10 and you need a stop, you need pressure, what's the best possible lineup that you can get out there? And to me, now we're getting Rashawn Gary at one edge. You're getting Milton Williams and Devontae Wyatt along the defensive tackles. And then you can pick your other defensive end, right? And maybe it's an early draft pick still that you're looking at a defensive end there. Maybe it's LVN. Maybe it's Enagbare. Maybe it's Brenton Cox. Maybe you put Carl Brooks out there. Maybe it's Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt on the interior and you put a little Milton Williams on the edge from time to time as well, where he can win outside also. He is in the prime of his career, premium player that should not be available in free agency. That's going to cost a good amount. We just saw the Oso Digizua contract, 20 mil per year. That's probably the expectation right there for Milton Williams. 4 years, 80, I'm in. Give me Milton Williams. And I think you have fixed a major problem with your pass rush. And I'll say it once more. If he is not in on early downs on rundowns, I don't care. Let him play his 600-700 snaps, mostly on obvious passing downs. Let him be a weapon. You weaponize everything else in the NFL. Let him be a weapon on the interior. And there is nothing that disrupts the passing game more than quick interior pressure. And it would not surprise me if at the end of 2025, he was the best interior defensive tackle pressure rate player in the NFL. That should not be available in free agency, but it is. Milton Williams, your premium free agent. And I think, by the way, some flexibility. You can play on the outside. You can play at defensive tackle. And again, premium position player, 25 years old, fits within the timeline of this team. Give him the 4 year 80, anything near that, 4 years 88. I'm cool with it. That should be number one on your list. Number two, Paulson Adebo. Not a premium player. You've already done that in Milton Williams, but you're going to pay a good amount of money for Paulson Adebo. What's the common thread here again? 25 years old, prime of his career. And here's the other thing. I think you're getting value here because I don't think he was in the right system in New Orleans. And I think he's going to fit better in Jeff Hafley's defense. You're going to have to check the injury out. Make sure that the injury checks out. If everything checks out there, you're getting a young player, prime of his career, that's going to be better in Green Bay because of the system. And, you know, I think the thing here as well is this is another player that should not be available that the Saints would clearly re-sign if they were not in salary cap hell. So go out and get him. shouldn't be there, but somehow he is. So Paulson Adebo, same situation, prime of his career, really good corner, immediate starter. I don't think he's going to be like a 20 mil per year player. I think you're probably closer to 14, 15. I think Green Bay can afford that. And I think he comes in and plays better. I don't know if he can be a pure number one corner, but I think he's a huge upgrade to Carrington Valentine. And I think it gives you Nixon and Valentine on the outside. Nixon and Adebo on the outside. And I think that gives you a lot more versatility. I think you can play a little bit more man-to-man if you want to. I think it mixes and matches well with Keyshawn Nixon. Adebo, a little bit of a bigger corner. Nixon, a little bit of a smaller corner. I like the dynamics there. So Paulson Adebo is my second free agent signing. That brings us to our value free agent signing. I'm picking up Dylan Radunes, the offensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans. This is just your Andre Dillard signing of this year. So last year you had two free agent signings, McKinney and Jacobs, and then you got Andre Dillard. This year, Milton Williams, Paulson Adebo, and this year you're getting Dylan Radunes as your versatile offensive piece. I thought in 2023 at tackle, he started to play some good football. 2024, they moved him back at guard, mixed him all around. It didn't go as well. I think he can play tackle. I think he can play guard. I think he could play center in a pinch. I think he's again, free agent signing that gives you a little bit of that value. Still young, going to be relatively cheap. He hasn't played great football, especially coming off this past season. But I think you can get him at a good deal. And I think he's a nice rotational piece that fits exactly what Green Bay wants to do. So there's your veteran, he's not going to be quite a vet minimum guy, but there's your, value free agent signing along the offensive line. All right, top 100 picks. I'm not going to go over names here, and I'm not going to say which one is which, but I'm going to say in the top 100, they go out and get a defensive lineman, whether that's a pass rusher to complement Rashawn Gary with Milton Williams already on the inside, Devontae Wyatt, et cetera, or whether that's a Derek Harmon to give you maybe Clark and Harmon on earlier downs and then Wyatt and Milton Williams on more pass rushing downs, right? I'd be fine with either of those things. So a defensive lineman, whether it's an end or a defensive tackle, would not shock me if that was your first round pick. A wide receiver and an offensive lineman. And here's the beautiful thing about wide receiver. I'm going to say it's going to be probably a defensive lineman in round one, wide receiver round two, and then offensive lineman in round three. The beautiful thing about wide receiver in round two is you no longer have a specific type of wide receiver that you need. You can go best overall wide receiver that is available. Because Dobbs is gone, you can go get that more possession wide receiver, which there are a ton more of in this draft. So you're just basically taking Romeo and you're churning that out for a younger, newer version of Romeo, probably getting a possession wide receiver, probably better version of Romeo in the second round of this draft, which there are much more of than the speed dynamic wide receivers that fit what Green Bay looks for. So you get that in the second round. You, get your speed wide receiver in Darnell Mooney. Early, you get that defensive lineman where there is a ton of depth in, especially the first round, around pick 23 in this draft. And then in the third round, you get some offensive line depth and competition to help, settle that position down a little bit and give you that depth that you're probably losing in Josh Myers and Andre Dillard leaving in free agency. On day three, I know I'm trading away a couple of these picks already in the Darnell Mooney trade, but I'm going to assume that Goody does a little bit of maneuvering and picks up a couple extra picks. Their day three selections include a defensive lineman, whatever one you didn't get in the first day, whether it's defensive end or defensive tackle, you're taking early on day three with probably a fourth round pick. You're taking an offensive lineman, a linebacker, a corner, and a quarterback. Those are the positions that they're going to take on day three of the draft. Obviously, it's BPA, right? But I think you can sort of maneuver it so that those are the positions that you're getting based on what's the best player available in each of those selections as you kind of go through the draft. And then post-draft, you're looking at what your roster looks like and can you find a free agent that maybe makes sense if you missed a spot? For example, is a TJ Slayton still out there? Maybe you missed on the run-stopping defensive tackle, right? Is there a TJ Slayton or a TJ Slayton type that you need to add to the team? Or maybe you didn't get a quarterback in the draft. Maybe you want to add a Desmond Ridder to compete with Sean Clifford for that number three spot. Whatever that might be, then fill your roster as need be, but just kind of keep an eye out for those type of players, depending on what your needs are following the draft, if you didn't fill some of those holes. So to recap it, trading away Jair, trading for Darnell Mooney, you're trading away Romeo Dobbs in that trade for Mooney as well, signing Milton Williams and Paulson Adebo on the defensive side, Dylan Radunes is a value free agent signing. In the top 100, you're going defensive line, offensive line, and wide receiver. In some order, doesn't have to be in that order. And then day three, you're going defensive lineman, offensive lineman, quarterback, linebacker, and corner in some order. What does that roster look like in 2025? Quarterbacks, and we're not going to go through every single player that's a futures free agent or the undrafted free agents or things like that, but the core of your roster, quarterback, Jordan Love, Malik Willis, a day three selection, and Sean Clifford. Running back, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks, probably an undrafted free agent or two there as well. Wide receiver, Jaden Reed, Darnell Mooney, Dontavian Wicks, a probably second round pick, but a top 100 pick, Malik Heath, Bo Melton, and eventually Christian Watson coming back. I feel very good about that wide receiver group. Tight end, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Ben Sims, and John Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's a restricted free agent. You don't tender him, and then you bring him back on a vet minimum type of deal. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else. Offensive line, Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom. Then you've got your top 100 pick, a day three selection, Dylan Radunes, Kadeem Telford, Jacob Monk, and Travis Glover, which should give you a lot of great competition along that offensive line. Defensive end is Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Enagbare, LVN, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, and either that top 100 selection if you use it on a defensive end, or a day three selection if you use it on a defensive tackle. Defensive tackle is Milton Williams, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, and either, again, a top 100 pick or a day three selection, depending on which one you use where. Linebacker is Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Tyron Hopper, Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson, and a day three selection. Corner is Keyshawn Nixon, Paulson Adebo, Carrington Valentine, a day three pick, Robert Rochelle, Kalen King, and Kamal Haddon. Your nickel is Javon Bullard. Safety is Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, Zane Anderson, and Omar Brown. Kicker is Brandon McManus. Punter is Daniel Whalen. Long snapper is Matt Orzech. Not a lot of holes on that roster. I think everything is within the realm of realistic. The Darnell Mooney one, your mileage may vary on whether or not you think that that's a realistic one. If, let's just say it's not, okay? Let's take the Darnell Mooney thing aside, throw it away. And in that situation, what I would be saying is you're just going to keep Romeo Doubs. You're going to keep those draft picks that you traded away. And you're probably looking at post-draft, you know, if you didn't get a speed wide receiver, maybe picking up some sort of MVS or DJ Chark to compete in camp as that field stretching wide receiver that can hopefully fill in up until the point where Christian Watson comes back and hopefully can fill that role towards the end of the season. The other thing that I would say there is if that ended up happening in that capacity, maybe it's Darnell Mooney at the trade deadline. And one of the reasons I was not as aggressive at wide receiver, one is, again, the free agents and the trades just don't make a ton of sense. So even if you want to nuke that Darnell Mooney aspect of it, I think the number one position you can find usually at the trade deadline is wide receivers. So even if they don't address it, as Goody loves to say, you know, roster building is a 365-day-a-year process. They don't necessarily need to find one now. I think they can go into the season with their current wide receiver group and maybe a top 100 pick on top of that as well. And then if they're still struggling with it, look at the trade deadline to see if there's somebody that they can bring in that would help this team for the remainder of the year, whether it be a one-year mercenary or whether it be somebody that they really go after that's like more of a long-term option as well. That's going to do it for me today. Let me know what your thoughts are on the ideal Packers offseason. Again, I know your thoughts may vary on some of these players. You may want to go with a Josh Sweat, a Khalil Mack, or maybe a different wide receiver. Maybe you want to attack, defensive end instead of defensive tackle, or maybe you want to attack one of the better corners and a DJ Reed or, Byron Murphy. All of those are fine options, and I totally understand it. But I think this is a blueprint. Go for that premium level player. And I think Milton Williams can absolutely be that, still in the prime of his career. Like a Debo still in the prime of his career. I think you're basically basing this off of him, I think, being even better in his, second contract on a team that I think has a scheme that fits him just a little bit better. I think all of it makes sense. I'm sure many will disagree, but that's what I'm going to stick with. I appreciate you guys a ton for being here. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Hanel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jake Conner. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.